Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss on today's broadcast, well, we have an open line for you. And if you're hearing the broadcast at the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, it's live, so you can call and speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742. That number, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
You know, Bob, one thing we need in this world today is more encouragement. Boy, we get beat down from every side, it seems like, in life, and it's tough sometimes. And those folks who come alongside of us and lift us up with encouragement, boy, that is just a breath of fresh air. It's just so a boost that you need.
Yeah.
And Paul says that of the word of grace. He says the word of grace can build us up. It can be an encouragement in our lives. And it's that internal encouragement of God's Spirit. He gives that to us every single day. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we get so absorbed by the things of this world and so sucked into the problems that we're experiencing that we miss what the Spirit of God has for us by this word of grace. So Paul is with his some leaders from the church at Ephesus. They're meeting together, and Paul's telling them that he's going to go to Jerusalem, and they fear for his life, and they try to keep him from doing that. And he makes that bold statement that I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to finish the task that God has given me, and that's the task of testifying to the grace of God. And then he gives some warnings to the disciples. He said, as soon as I leave, there's going to be some foxes that come in.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to pull you away from the sound teaching that I've given you about Jesus, about his death, his burial, his resurrection. So be aware of that. Be alert. Be on guard. And that's true today.
Yes, indeed.
There are people that try to draw us away from our faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, he says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So this grace of God gives us the inheritance. But what I really want to focus on in this particular verse is the fact that the grace of God is able to build us up.
Yeah.
And like I said, we need to be built up as people, as human beings. We get hammered all day long. It's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to think depressing thoughts. It's so easy to get anxious about tomorrow. It's just so easy to live a life of worry constantly, continually. And never feel good about yourself, never have this sense of joy that life is okay.
Yeah.
And then the word of grace can come in, and that word of grace can build us up, can lift us up out of that way of thinking and help us to see life from God's perspective, and it can help us enjoy this inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. So as believers in Christ, we have this word of grace given to us. The Spirit of God is constantly connecting us to this word of grace, teaching us what we have in Christ, the grace that has been poured out upon us. Well, as we receive that, as we take our stand in that grace of God, as we begin to breathe that grace as our very life, then let's be encouragers to those around us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's lift people up instead of tear them down. And boy, if you go out on social media, it is just a tear down fest.
It's brutal.
Oh my gosh, it is so brutal. I have seen people, I know both parties. I know their stories. I know that both are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And by the end of their argument, they are saying, you're not even saved. You're going straight to hell. You're just all of these things. And it's like, hold on, folks. Why not allow the word of grace to be an encouragement in this? Why not allow the word of grace to lift each other up so that you can have a real civil conversation and learn from one another instead of tear one another down. Yeah. So let's let this verse be an encouragement to us and to our own souls, but then to allow us to be an encouragement in the lives of other people.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us today. We have plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742, whether the U.S. or Canada. That's toll-free, 844-322-2742. A reminder also that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube each day, and we would like for you to be a part of those who come into the studio and see what you're hearing. So we encourage you to do that. Speaking of Facebook, we had this question, Bob, from Jeff, who wrote to us. He says, a friend said that worry is spiritual atheism. That seems harsh to me. Would you agree with him?
Well, certainly we can live as practical atheists as if we're the only people that can solve our problems. And that's what I think it means to live as a practical atheist. Now, we can worry, and we as human beings worry. And that's just part of the human experience. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't read things in the New Testament that says, what does worry bring to you? God is recognizing the frailty of the human experience. And since this world is a world controlled by the forces of darkness, since we ourselves have sin living in these members of ours, it's easy for us to worry. It's easy for us to look at the problems of life and to look at the circumstances that we're in and get worried about those things. But in that worry, God gives us a word of grace that lifts us above that.
Yeah.
And so he would say things, don't be anxious about anything. Well, why in the world would he say that if we weren't prone to anxiety, if we weren't prone to looking at out there to the future and saying, hey, that looks like a dreary, dark future in front of us? Why would he say that if that wasn't the case for each and every human being? So God isn't displeased with us because we worry or because we're anxious about things in life. He gives us a solution. He gives us the word of grace that lifts us up. So all of us are going to worry. That's just part of the human experience.
Sure.
And because we worry, God gives us a word of grace, and that word of grace does what it's supposed to do. So, you know, there's some people that say, hey, you can't worry and walk by faith at the same time. Well, I can be worried about a situation, but I can say in the depths of my heart and soul that, Lord, I know that you're bigger than this problem.
Yeah.
And so I'm trusting you to calm my heart, to be the guard over my heart and mind as I walk through this. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to trust you. Now, in trusting, I'm still got this worry going on inside of me. But that trust is transcending that worry.
Yeah.
And as we get through the end of that circumstance, you start to say, I don't even know why I was worried about that. Lord,
most of the time,
you had this, yeah. You had this under control.
No,
if you worry, that doesn't mean that you're, living as an atheist type practically.
Mm-hmm.
It just means you're a human being.
Yeah.
And in that worry, you can turn to the Lord and say, I am trusting you, even though in my own human way of thinking and how I'm seeing this problem, how I'm seeing this circumstance, it frightens the weebie-jeebies right out of me. And I'm scared to death as to what might happen. But even though I'm afraid, even though I'm worried, even though I have these feelings of fear, I am trusting you.
Yes, indeed. Jeff, thanks for reaching out. Hope that's a help to you. And, you know, we love when you, our listeners, stand with us month by month in your giving to support this message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our thanks for your donation this month, we're going to send you Simply Grace, the complete 6-CD set from the Simply Grace Conference that we held just a couple of 3 months ago. Now, in these CDs, Bob examines how grace has always been your story, a story of your forgiveness in Christ, of your union with Him and the life you now have and now live by the faith of hope, love, poured out in the new covenant. Well, please make your gift today at basicgospel.net and help us keep this good news coming on the air and online. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make that gift here in the month of November, we're going to send you the Simply Grace CDs. Again, please donate today at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Yes, my name is Steve. And my question is, I've read in the Bible where it says that for a person to be a pastor of a body, he is to be the husband of one wife. So my question is, how does a woman in the New Testament become a pastor of a body? My wife says I'm taking it to the extreme because our granddaughter said that their pastor is a woman, and I told her that was not biblical. So am I right or am I wrong? Thank you.
Well, Steve, thank you for opening up that can of worms. I mean, that is a very volatile subject these days.
Yeah.
And, boy, we have all kinds of discussions going on in Twitter world and on Facebook, and you've got different people taking different sides of it. And, boy, it's just become one of those really volatile conversations, and people are getting mad at each other and all sorts of stuff. It's just crazy how Christians are looking at this. Now, you know, in the Word of God, we see time and time again when Paul, for example, talks about elders or bishops or overseers or pastor teachers, he always talks to men in that regard. Now, that doesn't mean that women don't have places of ministry within the body of Christ. We see, for example, in I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it says if women are prophesying or praying within the assembly, so they have those opportunities to do those sort of things. But when it gets down to being the leader in a church, you know what we see in the New Testament, that it always is focused down to a man being that serving in that particular role. And
right.
That's what it is, just simply a role. It has nothing to do with God's perception of men or women, one being superior than the other. That's not what that's all about at all. So it's just saying, hey, this is how it comes down as far as a pastor of a church is concerned. So, Steve, hope that helps.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, open lines for you at 844-322-2742. If it's about 12 minutes after 3 p.m., you're hearing the live broadcast, and this is your opportunity to come into the studio and speak directly with us. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mesquite, Texas, and talk to Rod, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Rod.
Hey, how y'all doing? I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that, Rod. Thank you so much for saying so.
Oh, yeah, y'all are great. Hey, the question I have is about strongholds. Now, when we have strongholds in our life, and we know, you know, that it's a besetting sin or something we keep going back to over and over again, and it just seems like it's latched on to us. Now, how are strongholds pulled down? I know it talks in the Bible about the Word of God and putting on the full armor and the pulling down of strongholds. But do we as Christians have the authority within us to break strongholds and to pull strongholds down, or do we pray to the Lord and ask Him to pull down the stronghold? I'm confused about how strongholds are taken down in our lives.
Well, that's a great question, Rod, and I think it gets down to this idea, this concept of truth and error. Jesus said, you will know truth, truth will set you free. Well, lies and error are the very things that have bound us up, that have imprisoned humanity from the very get-go. So when the serpent was there in the garden, he deceived Eve, didn't he? And he put forth a lie, he twisted God's word, and in twisting that, he trapped Eve and then trapped Adam as well. And they became captured by the powers of sin and death. And so that came to all mankind. We're all under that condemnation of sin and death until we turn to Jesus Christ. Well, what was it that enabled us to get free from sin and death? It's the truth of the gospel, the truth that Jesus died for our sins, to take away our sins once and for all. The truth that he was buried and then on the third day he was raised back to life. So when we respond to the truth of the gospel, we're set free. And it's that truth that continues to set our minds free from all the error and the lies that we have grabbed hold of all along our journey as human beings. So that's what he's really talking about as far as strongholds. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, he says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." So there's the knowledge of God, that's truth, and then there are arguments and lofty opinions that are error. They're in opposition to the knowledge of God. So it's that error that puts us in bondage, that becomes a stronghold in our lives. And so it's truth that's going to break that. And so we need to trust the Spirit of God to bring the truth of the gospel to our minds so that we can take down those strongholds, destroy those strongholds that are in our lives. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. So as we study the Word of God and spend time with the Lord, he through His Word, He's going to show us the truth that we need for that particular sin or
absolutely. So
and we'll pull it down that way. In other words, we wouldn't just be praying to God, "Lord, break this stronghold off my life," you know?
Right. I think it gets down to, you know, putting on the full armor of God. We're already wearing that, but it's the Spirit of God really teaching us what that armor is all about, and which enables us to be strong in the Lord, enables us to have a sense of discernment so that we can see truth and error, and we can spot it for what it is, and the error we can simply reject. And that's how those strongholds lose their grip in our lives. Now, here's one, Rod. We think of these often in terms of sins, habitual sins, things that we can't break free from. But there are religious strongholds as well. So one of the strongholds that, quote, religion puts on us is a sense of fear. We're fearful of God's punishment. We're fearful of God's wrath. And we believe every time we sin that God is going to punish us for that. Now, that's not truth, is it? Jesus Christ took the punishment for all of our sins 2,000 years ago. So when we recognize the truth that Christ died on a cross, and in dying on a cross, he demonstrated the love of God for us, and we start relying and saying, yes, this is true, then that perfect love that God demonstrated in Jesus begins to cast out the fear of punishment that we have in our lives. So that fear was brought about by error, by lies from the accuser, Satan himself. And so he's bound us up in fear and sometimes shame, and it's the truth of God that breaks that stronghold of fear in our lives. It's the truth concerning the love of God that casts it away, as I say, punches fear right in the nose and says, get out of here. So that's how this works, Rod. It's truth. It's the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of what Christ accomplished for us and his death, burial, and resurrection. Within that is the power for salvation and the power to release us from those strongholds that have held on to us for so many years.
Okay, thank you so much. That helps out so much, because like I said, I was confused whether, you know, we ask God to break them and it's all his, you know, thing, his authority to do, or if we had the authority. But it's truth. It's the closer you draw to God and his word, the more you're being set free.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Just recognize the power is in the truth of the gospel, and that truth is going to set you free, And that truth is going to shine a bright light on the lies and the errors that maybe you have latched on to, and it's going to break you free from those things. So that's the way this works.
Rod, great to hear from you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Bob, Manuel would like to know what you think about Proverbs 31:3 in regard to a woman's relationship in a, you know, her position in the relationship.
Well, it's a special place that a woman has, as we read in the book of Genesis. It is, God formed Eve out of the side of Adam, and to be equal, and they two together, man and woman, reflect the very image of God. So it's a powerful, powerful place. So Proverbs 31, you know, that's talking about the characteristics of a godly woman. But at the beginning of it, it talks about, what was the verse that he says?
31:3.
So 31:3, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Now, this is just, this doesn't speak about the role of a woman or a woman's place. It's just wisdom that he is showering in this particular proverb. So I don't think this is really a passage that we can look at and say, here's a woman's place and a man's place.
Yeah.
I think this is just wisdom that the writer is showering on us in that particular passage.
Okay. I think we have time for one more. This is from Robert, who is a YouTube viewer of a Basic Gospel. He says, what does it mean when it says those who...
Let's do this one. What does it mean? What happens to a believer when he or she dies?
Okay.
And the Word of God is pretty clear on that. When we die, we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that's good news. That's the hope of the gospel. And that's just a wonderful thing for us to know. That's what enables us to face death with a sense of confidence and with a sense of peace. You know, I've talked to so many people, Bob, that are on death's door. And some are right at that place, and they're scared to death of what's going to happen when they close their eyes for the last time and they breathe their last breath. Well, why is that? Because they don't have the hope of the gospel. They don't know that when they take their last breath, they're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And then I've talked to numerous people who've had the full confidence of knowing where they are. I think of our former chairman of the board, Rich Andreessen.
Sure.
He was in the hospital, and he called me up and said, I'm not going to make it out of the hospital. I want you to preach my funeral. Will you do that? And I said, sure, but tell me what's going on. And he briefly told me. And so I asked Rich, I said, well, are you afraid or anything like that? And he's like, Bob, what do I have to be afraid of?
Yeah.
I know Jesus, and I know, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, that I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I know who I'm going to go be with.
Mm-hmm.
And that enabled him to face that event that all of us are going to have to face in life.
Sure.
With confidence, with assurance, and with peace in his heart. Mm-hmm. And so when we die as believers in Christ, we're simply absent from the body and immediately present with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news.
That is great news, and we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners and those of you who pose your questions day by day. And if you have a question, don't hesitate to call us on 844-322-2742. That's the number, and we'll be glad, as always, to get you an answer as quickly as possible. If you would like to send an email, you can do that to bob@basicgospel.net. Just address him at bob@basicgospel.net, and we'll address your question on Basic Gospel. We also want to say thanks to everyone who helps in supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. You're the reason we're able to be on the air each day with this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to help with your gift today, simply click donate at basicgospel.net. simplygrace.net. And as you make your November gift, we're going to send you the 6-CD series from the Simply Grace Conference. We call it Simply Grace because that's what it is. We hope you'll join us by making your gift right now if you can at basicgospel.net. It's a good time to do that, and we hope that you will do that. So once again, we want to remind you that to build your maturity and be able to understand God's grace, visit our online store. We have many resources, and just click resources there in the website at basicgospel.net. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same station, and we look forward to sharing that time with you. Till then, for Bob and the staff, Bob Davis. God bless you, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.